Mem Vav, and alright, so we've shown him on Perek Mem Vav. So, I don't remember, I think in the future, maybe Bruce will write down all the questions that we ask as we go through the parsha, but I think we'll be able to knock off a few of them over the course of this morning's read. So in the very beginning it says, so he offered sacrifices to his God, to the God of his father Yitzchak. So we immediately pointed that out last week. That's a bit of an odd way to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So Rashi does jump in on this, and Rashi says, well, that a person is obligated to honor their father more than they are obligated to honor their grandfather. Therefore, he mentions Yitzchak and he doesn't mention Avram, right? That's Rashi basing himself on a medrash. So Tzemach isn't so satisfied. I can tell you, I can see the shift. Alright, it's a little bit of an odd place to put such a lesson. We can learn that lesson now from other places. So the Ramban, as we pointed out, there is a very, very lengthy Ramban on this section here. But don't worry, this question is answered very much towards the beginning. So he quotes Rashi, those that have the Ramban, he quotes Rashi, and he says, Ve'inu maspik, that's not enough. Right? It's not just Tzemach didn't feel it was enough, the Ramban didn't feel it's enough. Sharoi Lomer Lil. He could just say Hashem. Why does he have to say the God of Yitzchak? Just say God. Right, as you mentioned, the next parsha in Parshas Vayechi, God who walked by with Avraham Yitzchak, or in his prayer tefillas, he says Amar Lokei Avi Avraham VeLokei Avi Yitzchak. Right, in the tefillah that he mentioned earlier with Parshas Vayetze, so he mentioned Avraham Yitzchak, and in the future, or he says VaYivim Mizbeach LaHashem. He says build a mizbeach for Hashem. So what is this ad Hashem Lokei Yitzchak? So Matzarch LaFarish Bo Yosef. Why do we need to explain anymore? We know who he's talking about. So the Ramban explains about Pasuk Hazeh Yishbo Sod Yiglu Lanu Osu Sham Bereishis Rabba. Says this parsha has a secret that is revealed to us in Bereishis Rabba. Ki Kasher Bo Yaakov Ralederes Ralaredes Mitzrayim Ra Ki Hagalus Yaakov Ozaro. Because Yaakov realized that as he goes down to Mitzrayim, the galus is about to begin. Ubepachad Mimenu Bezavach Zvachim Rabim Lepachad Aviv Yitzchak Shlote Midas Hadin. That he offered korbanos specifically to the God of Yitzchak. Yitzchak represents gevura. Yitzchak represents din, as opposed to Avram, who is the God who is, represents chesed, represents kindness. Yitzchak represented din. So he specifically invoked the God of Yitzchak to offer korbanos to, because he was afraid it was the quote unquote God of Yitzchak that was going to get after him after a while. Yaakov was going to be yelled at and brought to trial. You, just because you wanted to see your son, you schlepped the entire nation down to Mitzrayim in order to suffer for hundreds of years in slavery, right? They're going to have an accusation against Yitzchak. So therefore, Yitzchak specifically beseeched God, the God of Yitzchak, meaning the God, the attributes of godly of Yitzchak, of Yitzchakness within God, I guess you would say that. So, and he does this also in Be'er Shavah, Shu based Fila Lev Musav, and Misham Natal Rishus Belechto L'Charan. And he does this specifically in Be'er Shavah. That's where he got permission to go to Charan, and that's a place of tefillah. And it also says Vamra Kasu Zvachim. It also says Zvachim. Why? Vodiyashalohu Olos Kavusav Ke'avim Olos Sikrim. That he's not bringing Olos Zvachim. Even though Zvachim are really regular Kabanos, it's can also mean Olos. But there's a difference between an Ola and a Shlamim. An Ola is entirely offered to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. While Shlamim, part of it is put on the Mizbeach. The vast majority of the Shlamim is eaten by us. So, Rabbi Seinu, let's just continue a little bit more. Rabbi Seinu Amru, lo ikruv b'nei Noach shlamim. That the Gemara tells us that b'nei Noach didn't bring shlamim. Non-Jews don't bring shlamim. Non-Jews only bring olos. Olos ikruv. They bring olos. U'b'nei Noach siv v'furosh v'yal olos mizbeach. By Noach it says explicitly that he offered olos on the mizbeach. Ba'al Yaakov, if they pachar Hashem, he kriv shlamim l'hashim alav kol hamidos. But Yaakov, because of his fear of Hashem, which is also represented by Yitzchak, he brought Shlamim Lahashlim Kolamidos to satisfy all of the different characteristics. Now that is something I'm not really sure what he is referring to here, but it is making, I would give a simpler explanation. It just says that Zvachim, the idea of bringing a Korban Shlamim, is a Jewish idea. And this, I think we've spoken about this in Shul in the past, that an Ola is a non-Jewish idea, Shlamim is a Jewish idea. Ola is a Korban that is given entirely to Hashem, offered on Mizbeach, and God keeps the entire thing. So the non-Jewish ideal of Avodas Hashem, of serving God, is that I have to sacrifice on behalf of God. I must give something up in order to give it to God. While the Chiddush of Judaism is that our Avodas Hashem is part of our life. It's not separate from our life or something that we sacrifice from our life, but rather it's part and parcel with our life. So therefore Yitzchak, Yaakov at this point, is offering specifically the Korban Shlamim, as this is the... Well, you have a chumash there, okay. As this is specifically the time where he's trying to invoke that this is the future of the Jewish people. This is what I'm responsible to do, and therefore I'm going to offer a korban specifically to Elokei Yitzchak.
Did you say again the difference between the Gaish view of sacrificing?
The very word sacrifice is not the Jewish, is not a translation of korban, right? Korban means to come close. Sacrifice means to give up, right? So the non-Jews are welcome to bring korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, but they only bring a korban ola, because the ola is specifically a sacrifice. I have an animal, and I'm putting it on the Mizbeach, and it's all being given off to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu.
Right, it's all consumed, as opposed to the Jewish. Jews generally will bring a korban shlamim, which is that there is a portion that's put on the mizbeach, not a very edible portion generally, but the korban itself, most of the meat, is something that we partake in, that we are partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. It's a big sukkah drush that is a whole. But we do both, but all those are specific purposes. The main korban would be things that we actually partake of.
When sukkah, that's when they wreck all the land would come in.
Yeah. Okay, but the idea of eating in the sukkah is the idea of avodas Hashem, things that we do anyways. That we eat, we drink, we sleep, we do whatever we do. But it's done in the sukkah. It's done in the surrounded by Kodesh Baruch. Okay, all right. So that's the issue with Elokei Yitzchak. Now the next issue, and Bruce may hold on to his shot as long as he wants, but the Ramban clearly agrees with me. Pasuk Pemvav Pasuk Beis in verse 2, by Yomri Elokim Yisrael Bamaros Halayla, by Yomri Yaakov Yaakov. So God appeared to Israel at night, and He said Yaakov Yaakov. So. The Ramban points out, says that's odd, right? That we, on one hand, he's referring to him as Yisrael, but yet he calls out to him Yaakov, when in fact was God Himself who said that I don't want to call you Yisrael anymore. I don't want to call you Yaakov. I want to call you Yisrael. So what's going on here? So the Ramban says, Achash Amar Lo Hashem Lo Yikrashim Ya'od Yaakov Kiim Yisrael Yashem Acha. I don't want to call you Yaakov. Your name is going to be Yisrael. Hayah Roish Yikrav Hashem Nichman Ahu. So let him call him Yisrael. What's God doing? So he forgot? Okay, no. So V'chein Hu Nisker V'Parsha Asos Shlosha Pamim. Three times in this parak he's referred to as Yisrael. So why is it the one time God appears and calls out to Yaakov directly, he refers to Yaakov with the word, with the name Yaakov. V'chein Hu Nisker V'Parsha Asos Shlosha Pamim. Aval Karu Yaakov Lirmos Ki Ata Lo Yashar Im Elokim Im Anashim Vayuchal. So the reason he called him Yaakov at this point is because at this moment he is not going to he Lo Yashur Im Elokim Im Anashim Vayuchal, that he is not going to prevail, that he's not going to contend and prevail, that he's not going to win right now. That Yaakov, this is the beginning of a downward trend in the Jewish people. About Yevivesav Adim Ad Shiyalinu Gam Allah, that they are rather going to enter into the house of bondage until they came up. Kimiata Hagalus Tachil Bo. Was at this point the Galus is beginning. So therefore, he might be referred to as Yisrael in some sense. That this is a high point, and that now you're going to be reunified with Yosef. But it's also a low point. Yisrael represents the high point, a victory that we've struggled and won, while Yaakov represents the difficult trailing Esav, hanging on to Esav, etc. So that's the pshat that the Ramban is giving here. is that time, and this is why. Right, it's going to say in a few verses, these are the names of the sons of Yisrael that come to Mitzrayim, Yaakov and his sons. What do you say? You just called him Yisrael. Why? Which one is it? So, ki b'shem b'nei Yisrael yavohu sham, because it's with the name of b'nei Yisrael that they came there. Ki yifra b'nim v'yarbu v'yagdil shmam u'chvodam. They had many children and they enlarged their name, etc. Ala Yaakov hu ata b'rudos sham. But now that he is down there, he's being Yaakov. He's going to be Yaakov now, as the downtrend of the Jewish people into slavery is hereby begin.
It says it was the 17th best years of his life. So you have a paradox. One level, we're going down, and Yaakov in a way is going up. Personally.
Who said these are the 17 best years of his life?
I was mentioning it, but your Peter says.
Yeah, he had no service.
What?
The guy didn't have the service.
But it said, I don't know, okay, well, good question.
17 years after he gets to Mitzrayim, he's there for 17 years.
Yeah.
He lived there for 17 years.
Well, what
are
we doing?
I don't believe it's explicit in the text.
Okay, what's we'll find out. I just had
remembered. Oh, we will. Okay.
Another question.
All right. So what's next? So Pasuk Dalet has a couple of interesting lines from the Sforno here. So Pasuk Dalet says, "Anuchi irid imcha Mitzrayim, I'll go down with you to Egypt. Anuchi alcha gamalo, and I will also bring you up. V'Yosef yeshis yado aleinacha, and Yosef will place his hands on your eyes." So I mentioned, anybody here that wasn't here last week when we went through this track, what does it mean to put your hands on your eyes? I'm just curious. What?
When someone dies,
right? That was what I thought. That's what we commented here. And I was concerned that nobody said it, but the Or HaChaim says that. The Or HaChaim says, V'yoshev yeshis yado, the Or HaChaim says, Nischavi lehavtichu shelo yamus b'chayav. Now, he gives you that it was a promise that Yosef won't die in your lifetime. So on one hand, I was thinking like, whoa, Yosef's, you're going to die there. That's the pshat, which is a bit morbid. Like, why is that really necessary at this point? So says the Or HaChaim, no, it was a comfort to Yaakov. You're going to go down there, and don't worry, Yosef will outlive you. He's only going to outlive him by an aliyah or two in Parshas Vayechi, but he will outlive you, and that should be a comfort to Yaakov. And then the Or HaChaim adds in, "Un hischavi lomar alav ki aliyah shel Yaakov lo tia b'chayim." He's also letting him know that your aliyah, when you come back up to Israel, it's not going to be during your lifetime, rather it's going to be after you die. And then the Or HaChaim adds in, and this also is telling Yaakov that you don't have permission to leave Mitzrayim the rest of your life. Why? And this part is the odd part. Because Hashem, because the prophecy has to be fulfilled. If you leave, the prophecy is not going to be able to be fulfilled. So we raised this issue already a little while back with Yaakov, that Yosef seems to be manipulating everything in order so that the dreams come true. And we asked the question, why is that Yosef's responsibility to make sure the dreams come true? Right? So it's the same question here, I would think. Right? That the Or HaChaim says, well, because Hashem told Yaakov that Yosef is going to close his eyes. I mean, Yosef is going to is going to be there at your death. So that is a command to Yaakov that you're not allowed to leave Egypt, because otherwise Yosef's not going to be able to get there, to hop on a plane to get up to Egypt fast enough, and therefore Yosef, the Nebuah is not going to come true. So why is that Yaakov's responsibility? Right? And who says? Maybe according to Or HaChaim, let him go back to Israel, and Yosef's going to hear that he died, and Yosef will hop on a plane and get there in time. We'll take the flux capacitor. No, that's the from Back to the Future, the flux. Right? Yeah. So he'll and he'll get there in order to. It's Back to the Future 4. How to get up to 88 miles an hour in Egypt. So, anyways, that's. That's the question. I checked back. I didn't find it. There is somebody who gave that pshat with regards to Yosef and his brothers. Now, why is it that Yosef is doing all these manipulations to the brothers? Because Yosef has to make sure the dream comes true, and that was the pshat. So it could be that that was the Orach Chaim. It could be that the Orach Chaim is being consistent, that if you're told the Nevuah, so it's part of your job to make sure the Nevuah comes true. But that's a little odd. It's a little, I don't know. I find it a little strange. But let Hashem worry about his own prophecies. Okay. So, so Pasuk Dalet. So, also, the Sforno has an interesting comment here, but what's the pshat going on here? That Elcha gam alo, right? I will bring you up. So Sforno says, Achasha ola v'otziacha misham tusif mala alma shahayu lakodem ridascha sham. That after I bring you from there, I'm going to add to the things that you were brought down there for. I think I understood that more before. Okay, I'm not sure what that is referring to. Sorry about that. Let's go to the next line in the Sforno, though, where he says, Yeshisya do'alainav, he's going to place his hands on your eyes. Sforno says, Lo titzarech lifkoach inecha lahasik chavtzecha. Sforno says, it has nothing to do with death. This has to do with you're going to have to fulfill your needs. You're not going to need to like open your eyes to get the things you need. Ki Yosef yagia melech v'zulas hashkach hasecha. That Yosef's going to make sure that you get whatever you need with the correct hashkachos. No, that's not what it says. Ki yalecha v'zulas hashkach hasecha, without you looking over it. So that's what it means. Meaning Yosef will close your eyes, and that you won't have a need to open your eyes, because all your needs will be provided for by Yosef. That's his pshat. So it could be that maybe he had the original reaction like us, that don't close your eyes to death, but he asked the question, well, why is that considered comforting to Yaakov? So rather he explains, no, that it just means that Yosef will make sure that all of your needs are taken care of. Okay. So the Elish Mos in Pasuk Ches, we say these are the names of Bnei Yisrael come to Mitzrayim, Yaakov Uvanov, right? That was referred to before, and we go a few more Pesukim to Yud Beis. It says Uvanei Yehuda, Erev Onan v'Sheil v'Feretz v'Zarach, v'Yamas Erev Onan v'Eretz Kenan, v'Yuvanei Feretz Ketzon v'Chamol. Right? He has all these five sons, and but don't worry, Aaron Onan died, and Peretz had Chetzon and Chamol. So says the Or HaChaim, why is that necessary? Why do Aaron Onan have to be invoked over here? Right, we know what happened to Aaron Onan. Right, what happened to Aaron Onan? They died. Right, we knew that. We didn't need a pasuk in Vayigash to tell us what happened to Er and Onan. So why is it being mentioned here? And furthermore, you could say that why is it that we mention the grandkids here? That generally we have. I don't think any of the other pesukim really mentioned the grandkids, but here we mention the children of Peretz being Chetzron and Chamul. So comes the Orach Chaim and says, gives two answers. He says the first possible answer is to say that the two questions answer each other. I mean, why is it that we mention, well, with a little bit more added in, what was the whole story there with Yehuda and his sons, Er, Onan, and then Peretz? What was going on there? So that's the famous Ramban having to do with the mitzvah of Yibum, Leverite marriages. Right? That was the discussion going on there. Remember, the Ramban had the issue. Well, what do you mean Leverite marriage? Leverite marriages is to a brother. Right? It's not to a father. How did Yehuda fulfill it? So the Ramban explained that the idea behind Yibum is that there has to be redemption within the family. Now, the Torah limited it to brotherhood, but really the idea of that when somebody dies without children, somebody within the family should go ahead and marry his wife by a form of even if they're not necessarily so closely related, that's what's going on in the third parak of Rus, right? Of Sefer Rus, that Boaz and Ploni Almoni are not brothers. Ploni Almoni and we don't know. That's Ploni Almoni is what?
Like cousins,
distant. Whatever their relationship is, right? Boaz isn't. First of all, Boaz is certainly not the brother of Rus's dead husband. Right, he wasn't even Jewish, right? So there is some kind of connection that's out there that has to be, that should be redeemed by a relative. So the Orach Chaim says that's what's going on here.
Machlon or Philion?
Yeah. Sorry, they were Jewish. Ruth wasn't Jewish. I'm sorry. They were Jewish. But Machlon and Chilion are brothers. Boaz isn't their brother. Right? So that's not really a fulfillment of Yibum. But yet it's a fulfillment of the spiritual nature of Yibum, which is that somebody is then going to be redeemed by somebody else in the family. So the Orach Chaim says, "Ezra ki lefima shekadam etzlein b'mitzvos Yibum, ki yavi nefesh ha-meisu v'metzish l'tenim l'tzad sh'meisu erva onam b'lo bada b'yusrach ha-miyabim l'yabim v'ni nasi Yehuda miyabim b'ad shela." Right? So Yehuda set it up so that there would be Yibum takes place, and you see that there's now children replacing Erva Onam. That's the suggestion of that the Orach Chaim gives. However, that's the fancy explanation he gives, but he goes on to say, Uvederach Pshat, Yechavin HaKasav Azkaris Erva Onan Lumar Aleim Tzchus, that he wanted to mention Erva Onan to be Malami Tzchus on them, to tell you. Kipam Misa Erva Onan, right? What's the perception that Aaron Onan have in Shechvat Zera Levatela, right? That they wasted their seed. And they don't have a very good reputation. Yorah Chaim says that this is resurrecting their reputation. That saying that they were the reason that they died because they were in Canaan. And it was very difficult to live in Canaan under those circumstances. So it's kind of like, yeah, they sinned and they died for their sins, but don't think they were such terrible, malicious people. They were okay. They just happened to sin under those circumstances. But then he goes on and says also, and perhaps it's to give a warning for the future. I mean, Aaron Onan sinned in the place that they were. Well, guess where you guys are going? You're going to Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim is known for immorality as well, perhaps even worse than what was in Canaan. So there is and this is an ongoing theme, really, for the next five parshios, is the immorality of Egypt. It's a kind of a underlying theme that's not explicit in the text, but there's certainly an underlying theme of immorality that existed in Egypt, and even between the Jews and the Egyptians. And our Chaim perhaps say that Aaron Onan are invoked here to kind of give a warning to the Jewish people as they're heading down to Egypt. There is the Ramban here. A pasuk tesvav when it gives the number, when it says the comments of Leah, and it comes out to 33 people. And the problem is that if you count up all the people that are listed, you only get up to 32. So that's what the Gemara says, and Rashi says this, that, well, I'll tell you what happened. It's that Yocheved is missing. That Yocheved is not mentioned because she was born between the gates as they were heading down into Egypt. So therefore they left without, they didn't have Yocheved when they left. By the time they got to Egypt, all of a sudden Yocheved was born. So the Ramban quotes from the Ibn Ezra. I'll come to think of it. I don't see the Ibn Ezra here. Oh, there it is, Ibn Ezra. I don't see where he says this. Oh no, there he is. Okay, so even if it's Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra saying that's a little odd. There's this fantastic miracle, right? If that's the case, Yocheved was born between the gates. So that would mean that Yocheved was 110 years old, 130 years old when Moshe was born, and she was 250 years old when Moshe died. And there is he quotes from a piyutim biyom simchas Torah. Not sure what piyut he's talking about, but something that's said on Simchas Torah. Yocheved imi acharei hitnachami, that Yocheved, my mother, will be consoled after me. Apparently Moshe, that's a statement from Moshe. Moshe is alluding to the fact that Yocheved is still alive when Moshe died. Right? So that would place her at being 250 years old. So it says to Ibn Ezra, you mean to tell me that some woman lived to be 250 years old and the Torah is not going to tell us about it? Right, that's a pretty big miracle, right? The fact that she had the child at 130—that's a bigger miracle than Sarah, right? The Torah makes a point about the miracle about Sarah, so why wouldn't the Torah make a point about the miracle of Yocheved? So the Ramban says, "I'll tell you now a major yisod about Omer l'chav davershu emes ubarer b'Torah. I'll tell you something that is true and clear in Torah. Ki anisim hanasim aide navi sheis navi kim mitchila o malach nigel b'malachta Hashem yaskir makasav. That miracles that came because a Navi prophesied them, or things that a Navi prophesied beforehand, meaning the fact that those the Torah is going to mention, because we can't leave a Navi out to dry, right? If a Navi said something's going to happen, so we have to build our Emunah in Nevi'im, right? Nevi'im didn't have much luck staying over their prophecies during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. We need to build up the power of the Nevi'im. Vanasim Eleim Lazarus Tzadik Olahachas Rasha Lo Yaskir B'Torah B'Nevi'im. It's something that just happened in order to save the life of a Tzadik or to destroy a Rasha. That's not necessarily mentioned. There's not necessarily a need to mention that. Because it happened. That's not, the God isn't in the business of just showing off himself. He needs to show off that you have to listen to the Nevi'im, and you have to listen to the Rabbanim, etc. But any miracle that just happened in order to save the life of somebody, Hashem doesn't have to mention. He says, and you see that, right? V'zehu zahav rosach yutzak b'fi. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that the gold comes from the mouth. Achacham azem yimashah hishiv al rabbeseyim b'inyan Pinchas. Just see, look what happened with Pinchas. V'zulasu b'makam harbe. Right, the story with Pinchas, that Pinchas killed Zimri and Kazvi, and Rashi on that pasuk tells you about the 15 miracles or something that happened right in that moment when Pinchas killed Zimri and Kazvi. But yet it's not mentioned before in the text. Why is it not mentioned explicitly in the text? It's not necessary to mention in the text. The importance at that point is to recognize the heroism of Pinchas, not the miraculous nature of the act. In fact, mentioning the miraculous nature of the act in a way diminishes from the act of Pinchas. Right? You wanna build up the people, not necessarily highlight the power of Hashem. We have enough times when the power of Hashem is highlighted that it doesn't need additional highlights. So, yeah.
Going back to the naming of the sons of Abraham, grandson, parents, it was only Benjamin's children, not the other sons, because the Mashiach is going to come through them. Like, that's what I mentioned.
It's true. I'm not sure that that's why. I mean, it doesn't mention their great grandkids and their great great grandkids.
It doesn't mention, but he was a twin. Perez and Zerah. He doesn't mention anything about Zerah's
sons. Right. Okay. Well, maybe he didn't have sons yet, or it's to bring out this point of the Ebom issue.
It's a hint about the
prophecy. Okay. All right. If you think so.
Anytime you have a different day, you
got it. All right. I'll give you a different end of days thing. That Rashi commented. Oh, actually, that's what that Sforno was talking about that I mentioned before. That he said, you're going to go up, right? Right? I'm going to bring you up. The Sforno says, after I bring you up and I take you from there, Tosif Mala Masha Hayelecha Kodam Rad Hashem, you're going to have a greater joy than what you had when you went down as a symbol for the future. It's a different Sforno. This sort of mentions that this is a paradigm that Yosef going down, that Yaakov going down and realizing that all his troubles have come to an end is a paradigm for Mashiach, that you'll have a journey and then all your troubles will come to an end. Now, it's a little unclear to me how did, you know, the last time Yaakov thought all his troubles had come to an end, right, he got into a little bit of trouble. Right, that's the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, where it says Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megori Aviv, and they're critical of Yaakov for thinking, oh, finally I can retire and I can sit and learn and nothing's going to bother me anymore. And that's when all the troubles with Yosef started. So why would he have the same reaction now? Well, he's going down to Mitzrayim. So what if you're 130 years old or whatever it is, right? It's not time to retire yet. It's time to continue learning. Okay, one more thing that the Ramban comments, and that is the pshat with the two and the one, right? In Pasuk Chaf Tes, when they meet each other, by Yasur Yosef Markov Osav, by Yali Kros Yisrael Aviv Goshna, by Yari Lav, by Paul Tzavarav, right? He saw him, right, and he fell on his shoulder. Right, he appeared to him, right, and so why is it singular? It should be plural. So what was Rashi's pshat? So Rashi's pshat was, he quoted from the Gemara, that Yosef fell onto Yaakov's neck, and what was Yaakov doing during that time?
Saying Shema.
Right, that's Rashi's pshat. So says the Ramban, and it's interesting. The Ramban is not just going against Rashi. Ramban's going against the Gemara. Right, I believe that is a Gemara. It's at least a Medrash. So, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's not the Farish and the Gemara, but at least a Medrash. So the Ramban says, no, that's not what's going on here. He says, it doesn't make sense. Why would Yosef fall on Yaakov's neck? That's not respectful. I'm not sure why it's not respectful, but it's not respectful. So rather, the Rabban says, "Look, Shad is Vanochum Beinai Kfar Yuinai Yisrael Kavedim Sas Mizuka." The Yaakov's eyes were already starting to get dim, and when Yosef came, Marchavos Hamishna Ve'Alpanav Hamitznefes Gederach Malchim Mitzrayim. That Yosef came in the chariot and with his crown on, like the kings in Egypt do. Lo Yadikru Lavid. He wasn't recognized by the father. Vegam Achiv Lo Yikiruhu, and the brothers didn't recognize him. Lefichach Hiskir Hakasov Ki Kasher He Nisrael Lavid. So Yosef saw Yaakov before Yaakov saw Yosef, or Yosef saw Yaakov as Yaakov before Yaakov saw Yosef as Yosef. So Yosef had already kind of seen his father. So when it came to the crying on the other person's neck, it wasn't Yosef crying on the neck of Yaakov, rather it was Yaakov crying on the neck of Yosef. That's the Rabban's shot. So that changes. That's not the image that most people have, but that's the I think that Rashi won this contest, but that at least is the pshat of the Ramban. We have this last section here, which I see there's some big kliyakers on with regards to Yosef's instructions to the brothers about what to tell about Paro, about what they do for a living and things like that, but I wasn't really able to find much to really understand that little story there, so I'll try to get to that another time. Alright, have a good day. Sure.